Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Just Us Talks with Tisha, your weekly Blog Talk Radio show, where we talk about everything from social justice to politics to the law. I am your incredible host, Tisha Hillman, and I am an attorney based in Maryland, practicing in the areas of family law, personal injury, and also criminal law. Now, I want to go ahead and jump right into things because there is so much to talk about as it relates specifically to politics. Most of the time, there usually is so much to talk about in the area of politics because of the crazy that is going on in Congress, in the White House, and in this administration in general. So if you have ever listened to my show, you know the thing about me is I do not tolerate racial injustice or any kind of injustice or inequality. For that reason, I go hard on this current administration. So I am just baffled, suddenly appearing not only in my social media news feed, but also just on the news and in life in general. So for starters, you know, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the news, and just side note, I don't blame you for that at all. There is so much crazy going on that there is it's literally hard to keep up with on a day-to-day basis because you think that, you know, maybe we've crossed one hurdle. The next day, or maybe within the next 3 hours, there's a brand new hurdle to overcome because of the level of incompetence in this White House. I've never seen anything like it in all of my years. Now, granted, I have been alive for 4 decades, but I've never seen anything like this. So yesterday, if you don't know, John McCain, last week I believe it was diagnosed with brain cancer. He had gone in for surgery. And last night, they called in, I guess, from what I understand, I've seen differing stories about this. So if I misspeak, I apologize. But what I do know is that John McCain did vote to go ahead and move forward with the vote, basically to repeal and replace Obamacare. Now, here's the thing about that I find interesting. Congress has incredible health care, paid for, of course, by the voters. And the thing that I appreciate that's so ironic about that is that here we are talking about taking away 22 million people's health care with a vote by people who have incredible health care paid for by the voters, but yet the party who controls all three branches of government right now believe in smaller government. I find that ironic. But anyway, I also find ironic and quite vile that a man who is battling brain cancer would vote to take away people's health care. Because the problem with doing that, apart from people not having health care, is this. I mean, actually, there's several issues. One is that the Senate Republicans have been absolutely tight-lipped on what the new health care bill would even entail. They have been in secret meetings with one another about what's in the bill. So basically the Senate Democrats have not had a chance to actually see what in the hell people are voting on. So you're telling me that a small group of white rich men get to go into a room and decide to take the health care away from 22 million people while maintaining not only their six-figure salary, but also having the best health care probably that we have in this country. Interesting. So I just find it absolutely vile. And the second thing is, even though this president has said that you know, the whatever the new healthcare bill is, people will not be excluded because of pre-existing conditions. Now, here's the thing. We know that nothing that comes out of this man's mouth is true. He will change his story, as will any of his mouthpieces, from Kellyanne Conway to now the new White House communications person, the new Sean Spicer, as I like to call him. So the new Spicy, now, of course, despite his previous opinions about this current president, has now, of course, changed his tune, because that's what they do. But I don't believe it, because what we saw before, when they released part of the bill before, was that pregnancy was going to be a pre-existing condition. Basically, being a woman is now a pre-existing condition. So pardon me for not at all being confident that they're going to tell us the truth, specifically because there is nothing transparent about this administration, which is why they're involved in so many scandals, from treason to collusion. So if I don't believe you, 45, it's because you're a liar. And to take away people's health care is absolutely beyond deplorable. So that's about that. Now, a couple of other things that I've seen that have really gotten to the place where they grind my gears. Yesterday on social media, I saw this video of a young black man in a neighborhood mowing lawns for cash. That's his business. He had his business cards, and he's out there mowing grass. So along comes this white police officer who proceeds to ask the young man what he's doing. The young man looks puzzled, of course, because he's like, I'm mowing lawns. That's my business. And he shows the officer his business card. And the officer tells him, well, you know, I've seen you, and I've seen that you've been going from door to door, knocking on people's doors. And he's like, well, you know, again, showing the officer his business card, says, well, I'm putting my card in people's doors. So the officer then asks the young man for his identification. And the young man starts asking the officer, well, why? Like, I'm out here mowing lawns. Like, well, I mean, what did I do? That, why do you need my information? The officer never tells the young man why he's questioning him, why he's asking for his identification, why any of this is necessary for someone that's just simply engaging in business. So the young man tells him his information, and knowing his rights to some degree, at least from what appeared on camera, the young man asks the officer for his name many times. The officer never responds. Problem. Very big problem. Because, again, officers are supposed to be out to serve and protect the people, right? They're also public servants. And so as a public servant being paid for, whose salary is being paid for by tax dollars, you have the right to ask the officer for his information. But what this sensitive officer did was immediately when the young man asked the officer for his name, the officer says, turn around, and takes out his cuff to arrest the young man. The young man starts to back away, and he's like, no, what are you going to arrest me for? Again, the officer never even tells the young man why he's even trying to put him in handcuffs. So it's not like the young man is doing anything wrong. He's just literally mowing lawns and putting his business cards in people's doors. And so this is why I do this show. This is why I am an attorney, because every single day in this country, law enforcement officers have become more emboldened, because what happened, beginning with the Trayvon Martin case, at least from, you know, in the last couple of years, when people get off for executing unarmed people, the message that that sends, and I'm going to bring that this back full circle, the message that that sends is that it is okay and your life is dispensable, right? because think about all of the cases that we've had, the you know, since the Trayvon Martin case. Every single situation, whether it's been filmed or not, the officers have never been arrested. I'm sorry, let me take that back. Even if they have been arrested and convicted, they've always been acquitted, every single time. Now, I've done shows before on why it's important to serve on juries and about knowing your rights when dealing with law enforcement. Actually, I've done several shows about that. But I can't emphasize enough how many problems there are with that. From a young man merely engaging in business to an officer refusing to even give his name to the officer then trying to arrest the young man without even mentioning to him, without reading him his rights, and without even telling the young man why he's being arrested, when all the young man did was ask the officer for his name. A young black man had the audacity to ask a white police officer his name. And what happened subsequently is the police go to the young man's home. There's been some very, very varying stories about this. I'm not 100% sure on this, whether there was a warrant or there was not. But apparently the officer, along with at least one other officer, went to the young man's house and unleashed dogs on the young man. The young man subsequently sustained all sorts of injuries from being attacked by canines. So the level of racial animus in this country is so heightened that people are literally making videos afraid, in tears, terrified. Black people are making videos terrified of being stopped by white police. Now, police are not here to terrorize citizens. They're here to serve and protect, but they're not here to harass people and to take out their racial issues and any other sort of issues that they have out on regular, everyday, law-abiding citizens. People have the right to the Second Amendment, right? That's part of what the NRA says and, you know, all of their disgustingness. All of these people are arguing for Second Amendment rights, except for when it comes to black people. That is disgusting, and it's unfair, and it's unjust. And laws in this country need to protect. Founding documents in this country say that, in fact, all men are created equal. And, you know, I have my issues with that because, again, at the time the country was founded in 1776, black people were still slaves. So I think it's interesting that it says all men were created equal. But it doesn't say that all men are treated equal, because that's exactly what it is that not all people are treated equally. And we see that every single day in this country. And frankly, it disgusts me. It disgusts me. And so if you have any questions about what your legal rights and obligations are when dealing with law enforcement, contact my office at 301-744-7996. And I'm going really hard on this because here's what happens. That type of behavior by law enforcement gets people killed every single day in this country. As you can see, what I, you know, from the video that I was talking about, it also gets people injured. Now, I'm happy that that young man did not get shot by the police, because what they would have said if he was resisting arrest. Problem is, what the hell were you arresting him for? Why? He never did anything wrong. He never broke a law, never did anything wrong, except for have the audacity as a black man in this country to ask, to question a white officer. Folks, this is really beyond retraining officers, because it's not like they don't know what to do. It's not training them in de-escalation tactics. It's really getting the bad apples off the force. My issue is, if we're talking about any law enforcement officers, oh, well, not all police are bad. But here's my thing. All of them are bad if you don't say anything about the ones that are bad. if you know that that type of thing is going on in your department, and you know that it has the potential to get people killed, and you say nothing, you are, in my opinion, just as, if not more, than culpable for that behavior. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk about in terms of injustices in this country and the heightened racial and other sorts of bigotry in this country is Islamophobia. There has been, obviously, a huge movement, including by this current administration, to get people to believe that the Islamic religion in and of itself is terrible, and they're a bunch of terrorists who don't belong in this country. And so guess what? That's how regular citizens are treating Muslim people. We see over and over Muslim people being attacked and killed in this country by people who believe that they have the right to do so. Innocent people doing nothing but living their lives. So just before the show, I saw a video of people in a parking lot, three, I believe they were Somali Muslim women, being confronted by this white woman. And the white woman yells in their faces, "We're going to kill all of you Muslims. We're going to kill all of you." And the woman is recording. One of the women is recording. And she says, "I'm going to report this to the police." And the white woman says, "The police care." Now, the reason I wanted to bring that back full circle is because when police are able to execute people on and off camera, unarmed people just minding their business, people that are calling the law enforcement for help get shot by police, we have a problem in this country. We have a problem with law enforcement in this country. And until we deal with that, this problem is going to get worse. So when you have a regular citizen that says that basically that she doesn't fear you reporting the fact that she wants to kill you, she doesn't care if you report her to the police because she believes that the police don't care. Folks, we have a problem. And I'd like to know how people think that we should deal with this issue of racial and bigotry and just sheer vitriol that's taking place in this country. How do we deal with that? Give me a call. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3873. Give me a call. Tell me what you think. How do you think this country can really focus on changing these issues? Or can they change? Because it really boils down to individuals and their individual hatred and biases. But the problem is that it's reinforced, right? Because if the justice system does nothing about it, if the police departments do nothing about it, guess what, folks? It's being reinforced. And so what the end result is, it makes the common citizen believe police don't care. So I want to move on from that because I can talk about this all day, because this kind of stuff infuriates me, not only as a human being, but specifically as a person of color, because as a woman of color, specifically as a black woman, to see this happen, it's terrible, because I think about my brothers and my nephews. Hell, I think about me and my sisters and the people that I love, and I just think about regular everyday folks who don't deserve this, specifically people who are doing nothing wrong, people who are just in the act of living their everyday lives, to be shot by law enforcement, and then for law enforcement to not be held accountable. It's problematic. Now, I want to move on to the law part of things. I know that the law is really embedded in every part of our everyday lives, but I specifically want to talk about car accident, because as I stated, personal injury is a part of my practice, and so I want to talk to people about what happens after a car accident and what happens if the insurance company doesn't want to repair your car. So what happens if your car is deemed to be a quote-unquote total loss? So let me tell you what that actually means. A total loss, and according to the Maryland Civil Pattern Jury Instructions, basically means that the cost of the repair of your vehicle or the damaged property is more than the fair market value. So basically what happens is that the award that you would get would be the fair market value of the property before it was damaged. Because here's the thing, folks, the goal of personal injury law is to make the plaintiff whole. It's not to give you a windfall, right, unless there was some kind of gross negligence or something like that. But in this type of case, it's to make you whole. What would make the person whole? And so that's what a total loss means. The cost, it costs more to repair your car than it does just to give you the fair market value of the vehicle prior to it being damaged. And so, you know, this is why we have insurance. And so what happens when the car, what happens when, say, for instance, you owe more on the car than it's actually worth, more than the fair market value? And that happens often. So say, for instance, you bought a new car, you drive off the lot, and, you know, everybody knows that as soon as you drive a car off the lot, it's depreciated in value. But what happens if you drive off the lot, you get into an accident? You just bought this $30,000 car that's now maybe depreciated, I'm just going to say maybe $5,000 as soon as you drive it off the lot. So now you owe $30,000 on the vehicle, but say, for instance, you get into an accident and now your car is totaled, or the loan value just exceeds whatever now the fair market value is. What happens is basically you suffer the financial loss. And this applies even if you were not at fault. Now, obviously, there's a thing called gap insurance. And, you know, when you buy a new car, they always encourage you to buy this extra insurance. And, you know, when it comes to these extra insurance policies and things like that, you know, I kind of go back and forth personally and from a legal perspective on these policies. Because sometimes I think that when you read the fine print, what they actually cover is so insignificant and so rare of an occurrence, it may not be worth it. But at the end of the day, what I tell folks is do a cost-benefit analysis. If it's worth more to you to do this than to not do it, then you probably should do it, right? So that's how I always balance these decisions in my mind. But just know that even if you weren't at fault, because life is not necessarily about what's fair, as you can see from what we just talked about. It's not always fair. But you could still end up, and you will end up eating the balance of that. But if you have gap insurance, it exists for this purpose, to cover that type of scenario. Because what happens is that the insurance company will insure the owner for the difference between the loan value and the payout if your car is a total loss. So it's particularly beneficial if you buy a brand new car and you're financing the car the moment it drives, you know, you're financing the car, gap insurance. That's when it's typically purchased, but that's when it's also specifically helpful for you. Now, when it comes to the fair market value of your vehicle, that's when you can really haggle over what the fair market value of the vehicle is. Because you got to remember, insurance, the goal of insurance companies is to not pay you, right? So they get smart lawyers and they draft up these usually airtight sorts of policies because at the end of the day, they don't want to pay. They just want to collect your monthly payment and never have to pay out a claim, right? That's the best-case scenario for an insurance company. Now, when they do have to pay out, they make sure in your contract and find out if there's a way for them to get out of it. For example, if you prejudice the insurance company in a claim, it is possible that they will not pay the claim, right? So say, for instance, your car is stolen, but you wait to report the car stolen, or it was stolen because you left the engine running, right? So those may be types of scenarios in which the insurance company won't cover it because they're going to say, guess what? You prejudiced our position by doing whatever it was that you did, by either waiting to report the accident, by not reporting the accident, by not reporting the car stolen, or by some other action that you may have taken. So you really got to be careful, and you got to make sure that you talk to a knowledgeable attorney before you do anything, before you enter into a settlement, negotiations, or anything with the insurance company. Because although, yes, they are your insurance provider, they're really not on your side, right, at the end of the day, because you got to keep in mind that they don't want to pay. So just make sure that you keep that in mind if you ever get into a car accident. So basically, the fair market value of the vehicle is really based on several different things. So they really look at the pre-crash value of your vehicle, and they do that using a nationally recognized valuation manual, or they use a computerized database that basically produces statistically valid fair market value for vehicles that they consider to be substantially similar, right? Now, substantially similar means a vehicle that is comparable to your vehicle, including the same make and model, the same year, or maybe a recent year, a more recent year than the vehicle. It contains the same major options, and the vehicle is in a condition that's similar or better to the condition than your vehicle when it was damaged. You know, the mileage is either within 10% of the mileage of the damaged vehicle or within the greater of 4,000 miles, right? And you as the car owner, you are absolutely entitled to review the insurance company's valuation. So there are several things that if you work with an attorney, and I certainly advise you to do that, there's several different things that you can look at when it comes to what the insurance company is looking at to value your vehicle before you consider taking a settlement or whatever the case may be, or getting the total loss. But there's several different things that you really want to look at. So you want to look at the repair value and what it's going to cost to repair your vehicle. You want to look at what they're considering in the repair. Are they looking at cosmetics and all that kind of stuff? So there's different ways around that. But just know that generally you can recoup the cost of your rental car, any loss of use during repairs and the diminished value, and things like that. So we're almost out of time. But again, if you are ever in a car accident, make sure before you do anything with your insurance company that you talk to an attorney that knows area of law, because you don't want to make a mistake and end up with less than you could have. And then when it comes to social justice and equality, folks, be a good person, be a decent person, treat people with dignity and respect, because guess what? As I say every single week, at the end of the day, just us sometimes is just us. See you this time next week at 10 o'clock. If you have questions, give me a call, 301-744-7996. Take care, folks, and have a great week.